Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hey there, welcome to episode 90 of the Leading Learning Podcast. In this episode, we're celebrating the self-directed learner and talking about what it means to be a self-directed learner. I know Jeff and I both identify as self-directed learners, and it's our sincere hope that you too, dear listeners, also embrace that description for yourselves. Before we get to self-directed learning, though, we want to thank your membership, the podcast sponsor for the third quarter of 2017. Your membership's learning management system is specifically designed for professional education with a highly flexible and intuitive system that customizes the learning experience. Your membership's LMS seamlessly integrates with key systems to manage all of your educational content formats in one central location while providing powerful tools to create and deliver assessments, evaluations, and learning communities. You can find out more about your membership at yourmembership.com.
For the resource for this episode, we're going to point you to 10 Ways to Be a Better Learner, which is a very brief book I wrote a few years ago, really to consolidate my own learning about how to be an effective, successful, self-directed, and lifelong learner. So as the title suggests, I identified 10 broad ways to go about doing that. And the book covers areas like your mindset for lifelong learning, drawing on work by, for example, Carol Dweck, who's done a great deal in that area. It also looks at very practical tactics like note-taking, how to do that better, and then even gets into areas like diet and exercise and sleep and how important those are for being an effective learner. So, 10 ways to be a better learner. If you'd like to get a hold of that, all you have to do is go to leadinglearning.com/better-learner.
So to start off our discussion of the self-directed learner, we thought we would turn to Malcolm Knowles, the father of andragogy. And this is a quote from him. It goes back 40 plus years. It's from 1975. But we'll just share this to set some context. So this is Malcolm Knowles. The why of self-directed learning is survival, your own survival as an individual, and also the survival of the human race. Clearly, we are not talking here about something that would be nice or desirable. We are talking about a basic human competence, the ability to learn on one's own, that has suddenly become a prerequisite for living in this new world. So again, 40 plus years old, but wow, still as relevant as ever.
Yeah, it's amazing that that was said in 1975, and you feel like it definitely could have been said yesterday. I mean, certainly the whole urgency around learning, as Knowles puts it, as a human competence, has only grown stronger and stronger over the course of those past few decades. And of course, it's just going to continue to grow stronger. Now, about the same time that Malcolm Knowles wrote that or said that, I'm not actually sure if he wrote it or said it, but it now gets quoted in text, obviously. There was a study going on that was conducted by Drs. Lucy and Paul Guglielmino, whose name I'm probably butchering, but nonetheless, they were some researchers who really wanted to look at what it means to be a highly self-directed learner. And so they ran a survey. This was in 1977, so you know, just a couple years after our quote from Knowles, in which they wanted to try to identify the characteristics of really successful lifelong learners. And this ultimately led to the development of the self-directed learning readiness scale. And you can still find information about that scale out there if you search on self-directed learning readiness scale. But I'm going to read a paragraph that came that was really part of the description for the survey that these researchers read, and we're going to take that kind of as the basis for our discussion in this episode. So what the description of the survey says is that a highly self-directed learner, based on the survey results, is one who exhibits initiative, independence, and persistence in learning, one who accepts responsibility for his or her own learning and views problems as challenges, not obstacles, one who is capable of self-discipline and has a high degree of curiosity, one who has a strong desire to learn or change and is self-confident, one who is able to use basic study skills, organize his or her time, and set an appropriate pace for learning, and to develop a plan for completing work, one who enjoys learning and has a tendency to be goal-oriented.
So, you know, lifelong learning and self-directed learning are not equivalent. We're going to just say that up front. But we definitely see a lot of overlap between self-directed learners and lifelong learners. And we think that the points that we're going to talk about over the course of the remainder of the podcast apply equally well to both self-directed learners and to lifelong learners. So what we're going to do is use that paragraph that you just read, Jeff, about the survey results and really kind of dig in a little bit to those. So the first piece of that we want to highlight is the fact that successful lifelong learners are comfortable with independence. And we want to start with that one because this episode is set to air on the 4th of July, which here in the United States is Independence Day. So, you know, this is about self-directed learners really being comfortable and self-reliant. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that they always act autonomously or independently. And in fact, I think we're seeing increasingly that they have to cultivate networks and learn from those networks effectively. But it's really about having that ability to be self-reliant and to be independent if needed.
Yeah, and I love that that you're using the phrase self-reliant. There reminds me of, you know, Emerson, Thoreau, you know, definitely an age they came from that was very focused on self-directed learning as well. And it is a persistent theme throughout the ages. So independence, as you highlighted, is the first point, extremely important. And then, you know, along with that, the second point to highlight out of that paragraph is the idea that the self-directed learner, the lifelong learner, takes initiative. So, you know, this person doesn't wait for someone else to say, hey, you must learn this, or hey, this is going to be on the test, you better study it, or, you know, this is the curriculum, make sure you master it. I mean, certainly, like all of us, we all have to go through that type of learning. But the self-directed learner really says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take initiative. I have identified what it is I want to learn, and I'm going to act on that. So they're independent, they're initiative, they take initiative. And then, you know, a third point to take out of that paragraph from our perspective is that they are persistent. So, you know, the successful self-directed learner, certainly the successful lifelong learner, since lifelong does indeed imply a long period of time, recognizes that learning takes time. It takes repetition, it takes practice and effort, but the successful self-directed learner is going to be willing to do that. That person is going to be persistent, and they're really going to stick to it over time.
And so the fourth point we'll highlight is the idea that the successful self-directed learner accepts responsibility. And we're going to tuck some of the other characteristics of the successful self-directed learner that was cited in that little paragraph under this responsibility umbrella. So I think we can see self-discipline fitting in under responsibility. So self-discipline is what lets you have the persistence to keep practicing, that persistence to stick with it, as you were just saying, Jeff. Self-confidence is another thing we can kind of tuck under this umbrella. Self-directed learners have a solid sense of self-efficacy, that they believe that they are capable of performing in a certain manner and can attain certain goals. Also, study skills are part of taking on responsibilities. I mean, you mentioned earlier taking notes. And we know that good note taking can be an effective tool for learning. So really understanding that, applying it, that falls under this responsibility umbrella. Also time. I think we all struggle with how to get all the things done that we need to get done within our limited time. And so a successful self-directed learner knows how to figure out, okay, what time do I have for learning, and to manage that time effectively so that they can really achieve their goals. Related to that is the idea of an appropriate pace for learning. So, you know, this is that learning is as much about process as the outcome. And so you can't just, you know, say, I'm going to sit down and learn something today and just do it. You need to have a plan, the appropriate pace. It's that idea of the repetition, coming back to practice, setting all that appropriately. You also need a plan for completing work. And so this is, again, about making sure that you know why you're learning, and that if you have a goal in mind, you have a plan for completing it. And that idea of a goal is something else that was mentioned in that 1977 survey, because successful self-directed learners have a tendency to be goal-oriented. So this means that even whether or not they consciously set out with a stated goal, they're really kind of in it to solve some problem or to achieve a certain end, and that's what's driving the learning.
Yeah, and I think the concept of responsibility wraps that all up very nicely. That's kind of the package that you have as a self-directed learner. You realize that, you know, there are a lot of opportunities out there. There are people who are going to create learning opportunities for you, but really to embrace those opportunities and to take full advantage of them and get everything that you can out of them, that is a level of personal responsibility. And like you said, it can be more or less conscious. I think probably the best self-directed learners are conscious to a significant degree that is in fact something that they want to do, that they want to learn, and that they are going to set goals, they are going to plan, they are going to manage their time. So, you know, something for all of us probably to aspire to be better at, because I know I definitely struggle with, the time and pacing elements of that, certainly. And sometimes, you know, the confidence and the discipline also that are all wrapped up under that umbrella of responsibility. So, another key point, I think this is kind of the fifth one that we're taking out of that paragraph, is this idea of the self-directed learner really viewing problems as challenges, not obstacles. And, you know, for me, really, this is about having the right kind of mindset. And when we mentioned 10 ways to be a better learner earlier, I said, you know, one of the concepts discussed there is mindset and the mindset that you bring to lifelong learning, to self-directed learning. And the most successful self-directed learners are going to bring a growth mindset to their learning. And I'm drawing here on the distinction that Carol Dweck has made in her great book, Mindset, and in her research around the idea of there being a growth mindset, or some people having a growth mindset, which is the idea that they can grow and they can learn and they can change and can get better at whatever it is they're pursuing, versus people who have much more of a fixed mindset and feel like, you know, they're given a certain set of abilities, intelligence at birth, basically. You know, they're good at math or something like that, and maybe they're not good at other things, and they can't really change that so much. The self-directed learner really recognizes that growth is possible, and, you know, because of that, isn't really easily thwarted when things get tough. So again, you know, they look at problems and see them as challenges, but challenges that are going to help them grow, not obstacles that are going to block them in their learning and their forward motion in life. Along with that, kind of sixth key point that we'll take out of that paragraph is that self-directed learners have a high degree of curiosity. And, you know, curiosity underlies motivation in many instances, and motivation is so important to learning. Curiosity fuels sort of the questioning that lifelong learners are going to do. Successful self-directed learners and lifelong learners, really, they're going to have a high propensity for asking questions, for asking why a lot, not just, you know, what and how. And they want to know, you know, what makes whatever they're interested in go and tick, and they're going to dig into it. And that's going to, you know, be part of what gives them that initiative to learn that we talked about earlier.
And I think they might not even be satisfied with asking why once, right?
That's right.
Of asking why again, even once you get a response, you question that response. And so you dig deeper and deeper. The seventh point that we'll pull out is that the successful self-directed learner has a strong desire to learn or change. And so really this gets at the fact that self-directed learners are intrinsically motivated. Mm. You know, so we have a will to learn. We see learning as a positive path forward. It's something that, you know, if you said you can't learn anymore, you know, that would be feel like a death sentence as much as anything. And so there's just this innate, intrinsic desire to learn or change that drives the most successful self-directed learners. And then the eighth point that final point that we'll pull out is just the idea that successful self-directed learners enjoy learning. And so, you know, to sum this all up, you know, successful self-directed learners, they simply like to learn. And it feels like sort of an obvious statement, but I think that sort of inherent joy, that implicit joy, is so key to what really motivates and keeps successful self-directed learners going.
And so, you know, to kind of go back to where we started and, you know, why to even talk about this, you know, as you were saying, Salisa, this is coming out. Original broadcast is going to be on July the 4th in the United States, which is Independence Day. And it seemed like a good day to celebrate self-directed learning, since it does tend to be, you know, very personally and independently driven. And we've seen this age where so much more is possible for the independent self-directed learner who wants to be able to go out and find, you know, resources on the web, has access to just so much. I mean, the opening up of access to learning opportunities has just been tremendous. And there is, you know, on a certain level, kind of a mandate almost for people who want to thrive both on a personal and a professional level to embrace lifelong learning. You know, that's sort of a stick side of it, I guess, but the carrot side of it is that if you do love learning, if you do want to learn and want to grow, boy, I mean, there have just never been opportunities like this before. So, you know, it seemed like a good time to look at this topic. Of course, you know, as you said at the beginning, we're both avid lifelong learners and self-directed learners ourselves. So stepping back and, you know, reflecting a little bit, you know, something we also emphasize a lot here on the show, and using this particular episode as a way to reflect on self-directed learning, on our own self-directed learning. And then, of course, we want to turn it out to you as a listener. So, you know, these points that we've gone over here, you know, curiosity, desire to learn, enjoying learning, independence, taking initiative. I'm not going to be able to remember all of them off the top of my head, but you know, are these points we've been talking about, do they describe you as a learner? And, you know, what might you do to cultivate them better, and to continue cultivating them, because these aren't stagnant. You know, these are all areas that we continue to improve in where we can. So, you know, to ask yourself, maybe you've got a little time by the pool or whatever, if you're listening on the 4th of July, you know, ask yourself, to what extent are you cultivating these points? To what extent are you helping to teach others? You know, whether that's your children, your friends, if you know, represent an organization in the business of lifelong learning, which of course most of our listeners do, how are you helping to cultivate this with your members, your customers, whoever it is you're serving? But you know, take this whole idea of self-directed learning to heart, take these characteristics to heart, and think about, you know, how am I applying them for myself? How am I and my organization helping our learners to cultivate them and apply them in their own learning?
As we're exiting, we want to say thanks to our sponsor, Your Membership. You can find out more about Your Membership and all it offers at yourmembership.com.
To get show notes for this episode, and we will, you know, include the Malcolm Knowles quote there. We'll include the description that we used from the 1977 survey that was sort of the basis for our discussion here. That will be quoted there. And of course, you know, we'll highlight other things that we talked about in the episode. We always do that in the show notes. You can get those by going to leadinglearning.com/episode90. And while you're there, you'll also see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're not one of the legions of people who have subscribed so far and you're getting value out of Leading Learning, we'd be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
We would also be grateful if you would take just a minute and give us a rating on iTunes. You can do that by going to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. It really does just take a minute, and we appreciate it because it helps others find the podcast.
And finally, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet to do that simply by going to leadinglearning.com/share, and that will automatically pop up a tweet that you can send out. Or you can take that language and pop it into any other social network of your choice, whether that's, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it is you use. But we'd really be grateful if you'd help spread the word.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.